He has risen. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The church looks weak, and the church will always look weak on this earth. This is no surprise. After all, she is a flock of sheep, not a pride of lions, a pack of wolves, or even a flock of birds flying high in the sky, but sheep. Weak, slow, defenseless, helpless, dumb sheep. She is everything the world is not. They are sleek, strong, and sly. They are always on the offensive, always looking for their next meal. Despite the best efforts of many confused pastors to dress the sheep up like wolves, the church always remains countercultural. The church is large. There are many who claim to be Christians on this earth, many who confess Christ. But outwardly, the wolves have done their work and created countless denominations. Denominations really are the work of the devil, trying to confuse the sheep so they might divide and conquer. God has given to his church shepherds, but how many of them remain faithful to the pure teaching of God's word? How many give way to the wishes of the flock because they pay his salary? Even when you look at all those faithful pastors that are out there, how many are perfectly faithful all the time, never erring, never making a mistake, but perfect in every thought, word, and deed, perfect in every form of teaching? When problems arise, it's easier to leave. Go to another congregation and leave the mess to someone else. If your salvation depended even 1 ounce on the skills or abilities of a pastor, then not one of us would survive. And the world sees all of this. It's still one of the top reasons why people don't join churches. They're full of hypocrites, they say. They have problems. And they're right. There are problems among the clergy, and the world sees it. There are those casual Christians who come only when it's convenient to them and when they need something from the church, a marriage, a baptism, a funeral, and the world sees it. There are hypocritical Christians whose lives don't mesh with their faith. They look like wolves, they talk like wolves, and yet they show up on Sunday morning, sit in a pew, and claim to be sheep. And the world sees them too. Then there's you and your problems. You still get sick, sometimes with very awful diseases. There seems to be no earthly advantage whatsoever in being a Christian, and the world sees that too. They don't know how this Christianity will help them out in the least. You are not perfect parents. Your children are not perfectly obedient Christian children, but they make mistakes, they rebel, they yell. And sadly, some of them may even fall away from this faith. Divorces still occur in the church, and the world sees that. Gossips, arguments, divisions occur even in a tiny church like ours. Pride and selfishness still exist. Love does not prevail in all things. But individual ideas, agendas, and opinions often push their way through at the expense of others. And the world sees all of that. The difference between you and hypocrites, though, is you see it too. And it hurts. You are an addict who knows that he's an addict, a sheep who knows that you have lived all too often like those wolves. You have wanted to be strong and self-sufficient, independent, individualism. And it hurts. It's painful as we look back at all that we have done. Submission is the last thing you have on your minds, especially to that person sitting behind you. Helpless is the last thing that you want to be. And I'm sure each and every one of you would be sorely offended if someone called you dumb. It is hard to be sheep, especially since our sinful flesh truly thinks that we are much better than that. But as those howling wolves close in, circling around us, we do what sheep do best. We freeze. The accusations are true that they hurl at us. We are no better than the next. We have no excuses. There is nothing to say. We have not lived like sheep, but often like those wolves. And it delights Satan and his demons to point it out to us. Our piety is not good enough. Our diligence is not good enough. Our devotions are not sincere enough. Our effort, no matter how zealous we are, is not enough. What other defenses do we have as sheep? What can we throw out to that pack of wolves to get them to be silent or to lay off of us? We are nothing but a plump feast ripe for the picking. The church on earth looks weak because its shepherd became weak. Our shepherd is a lamb, not even a ram, but a weak, helpless lamb, the weakest of the weak. He became like us. He made himself nothing, laying aside his glory, power, and might. He clothed himself in our wool and our skin. He was made like us in every way. He became a slow, defenseless, helpless, dumb lamb, even as we are. He shared in our humility, taking the mantle of our weakness. He needed a mother to keep him warm. He would have died without her. He needed a father, an earthly father, to protect him. Herod certainly would have found him. He needed to be changed and fed. He needed sleep and vacations and rest and relaxation, even as you do. And yet, how often do you read Luke chapter 5 that Jesus went and took a vacation? It's not there. His body was the same as yours, with all the same disgusting functions and physical limitations. And he is the one who went out to stand before that myriad of wolves. And Satan laughed at him. Satan considered himself a formidable foe who had been perfecting his craft since he led Adam into sin. And out walked a lamb for battle. He knew Jesus was God. He knew that this day would come. And yet he considered himself a great adversary. He expected far more power and might on display from God. In Satan's mind, this was the dumbest idea God ever had. God would become man. All men must die, and this God-man would be no different. So Satan would quickly dispose of Christ and then devour you. So as he circled around Christ, he waited, nipped at him a little here and there, until finally he found him at his weakest, and he went in for the kill. Silently the lamb went. The wolves hurled their insults at him, yet he did not retaliate. He made no response. They beat him, trying to get a response out of him, yet still he remained silent. Quietly he processed through two Jewish courts. Quietly he stood before Pontius Pilate. The accusations were true. He was the king of the Jews. He was the Son of God. And they shook their heads at him. God is not weak. God is not helpless. God is not a stumbling, bloodied, forsaken man. But this God is. Your God is. They turned the lamb into a beast of burden and forced him to carry his cross, but they failed to see that he bore a far greater weight than simply a wooden beam. He bore the weight of your sins, the weight of the sins of the whole world. Satan failed to see that this little helpless lamb had willingly made himself weak and allowed Satan to attack. He's a willing sacrifice so that he might save his defenseless flock. And so Satan took the bait, chomped down on God, and threw him into death's belly. And then Satan really found out what it's like to take a bite out of God. For that weak, helpless, defenseless lamb ripped open Satan's jaws and tore apart death's belly. In weakness, Christ overcame Satan. In weakness, Christ overcame the grave. In weakness, Christ has won your victory. The Lamb lives, and death's belly forever remains open. And yet still you look weak. Not much has changed. Still the church looks weak. Satan and his forces still prowl and hunt you. And it appears that death will still swallow you forever. But that stone is still rolled away. The grave is still empty. So stop and listen for a moment, and you will hear your shepherd calling to you. He leads you through that pack of wolves, even as they nip at your heels. He leads you through the valley of the shadow of death, even though it looks like it will most certainly overcome you. It looks dumb and foolish to follow a lamb. But this beautiful little lamb, who looks like he has been slain, became weak for you so that you might be glorious like him. And so following this little lamb, you too will walk up out of your grave alive, physically alive forever. And that seems so far off in the future. The journey seems long and difficult, and at times we wonder how much longer it can get. And so he leads you to the quiet waters of holy baptism, where he bids you to drink and be restored. Baptism is not just a one-time event. It is your daily life to which you can always go for renewal. He leads you to the quiet green pastures of his holy word. There you feast on his promises. There you lie down on the grace of God. Who cares what's going on around you and what those wolves are up to? Who cares if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death? There is nothing to fear. No need to rush. The Lamb is leading you, and he is leading you at the pace that he wants to go, and that he knows is best for you. So stop. Even if it feels like that wolf is breathing down your neck, stop. And feast on the bountiful banquet of Christ's body and blood, the table he has prepared before you in the presence of these your enemies. There is nothing to fear. No need to rush. No need to worry. The Lamb leads you. And he will make sure that you make it to heaven safely. On earth you may look weak, for the church on earth will always look weak. But that does not matter. For the risen Lamb is your shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. And so what else could you ever want? He is risen, alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.